welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple, and making a welcome return to this transmission. We haven't had him on here for absolutely ages, but he's welcome back. It's the great David Jennings. We've got no Cheltenham on the show. That's a blow. The weather's been absolutely awful. So that meeting, the trials day, which was going to be so good, is off. But that doesn't mean we haven't got a load of great racing for you at all. By any means, ITV have rescheduled. We've got four races at Doncaster to preview, including the mighty Shishkin. We've got three at Lingfield. There's a good race over in Fairy House, which DJ will be telling us about. And then on Sunday, Nace is the big meeting. So we'll see if we've got any top tips there. We'll have the naps as well. So plenty to get stuck into. We'll start, though, with the 1:30 at Doncaster. And the quality horse of the day is first up. It's the great Shishkin, favourite for the Sporting Life Arkle, and a very hot favourite for the 1:30, which is the 2 mile Irish Thoroughbred Marketing Lightning Novices Chase. Graham, just how short is he?
We have him at 2-9, Bruce. You'd have to put a lot on to win a little. After that, it's 8-1, El Dorado. Alan Cheddleton is an 8-1 shot as well. Fast Buck, 16s. And then the rag of the small field is Est Illich. I hope I pronounced that right. But Shishkin, 2-9.
Okay, now, it may well be that there is a surprise and one of the three of you wants to oppose him. But, I mean, it's probably more interesting vis-a-vis this horse to look at his chances in the Arkle. He's 8-11 with Paddy Power. Envoi Alain, who we wouldn't expect to run in this. We think he'll run in the mid-distance races, 3-1. Energemine, I don't think I've said that right, but anyway, you get the gist. He's the Mullins horse, he's 5-1. All Mankind is 8-1. It's 10 Classical Dream and 14 Bar. Keith, do you want to talk about the Lightning or the Arkle? I mean, I suppose my first question to you is just how good is this thing?
It's not out of the question. He's the best chaser trained in Britain at the moment. He's extremely good, isn't he? I mean, I don't think he actually is. I'm saying that to be a little bit provocative, to be honest. But he's not far off, considering he's only run twice over fences in his entire life. He's a monstrous talent. And what he does is he wins his races by a long way as well. He shows you how good he is on a fairly regular basis. He did that at Kempton. I don't think the Kempton form, the Wayward Lads, all is that bad. I think Tamarok Dumatan is going to win graded novices. And Shishkin just made him look like a complete amateur. This horse is the real deal. I said on a postcast recently that if Envoi Alain came down to 2 miles, I think Shishkin would beat him. That's how good I think this horse is. You know, I don't think I've ever had a bet at 2-9 that I didn't think should have been 20s on. And there's, you know, there's 150 level horses in this race, so Shishkin probably shouldn't be 20s on in this field, so I won't be backing him. But I think he'll win this, and I think he'll win the Arkle. I'm really looking forward to All Mankind having a right go at him in the Arkle. I like that horse an awful lot, but I'm realistic about how good he is, and he's probably, you know, £10 a stone worse than Shishkin, and we'd have to go some to beat him. I can't see Shishkin losing this season.
Okay. Quick apology for me. That I refer to Shishkin as a thing, and someone pulled me up on Twitter and said, do not refer to horses as things. Absolutely right. Apologies for that. How good do you think Shishkin is, DJ?
Sure, he's brilliant, Bruce. He's fantastic. He's brilliant to watch. He's a brilliant jumper. He's like a young Sprinter Sacra who has a finishing kick. You know, when Sprinter Sacra was a novice, it was probably in the middle part of his races that he was most impressive. The ease with which he travelled, the power, and, you know, when he won his Arkle, it was that move from kind of five out to the turn into the home straight that you went absolutely wow. Whereas Shishkin is a little bit different. He can hit a flat spot in his races, but it's that finishing spurt. We saw it when, you know, after being hampered in the Supreme, he really does hit the line hard in a different way to Sprinter Sacra. But just everything about him otherwise would remind you of Sprinter Sacra, and I hope he is another Sprinter Sacra coming through. You know, this will tell us a little bit more. Like, I often read these pieces, and I know a lot of people, Keels and James Hill did pieces during the week, for the weekend, are saying that, you know, Envoi Alain is probably worth taking on, and there were well-reasoned pieces, both of them. But I often think we kind of downgrade performances sometimes when horses win. So just say Envoi Alain, we can say he didn't beat much. And then Cocoa Beach comes out and absolutely bolts up in one of the hottest handicaps of the year in the Taiesta South America 138. And he was beaten 16 lengths by Envoy LN. So Shishkin here is running against horses that are rated 149 in El Dorado Allen and Cheddleton. And he has to give £5 to Cheddleton. So, like, while on paper he's 2-9 and it looks a ridiculously easy task, the only reason it's a ridiculously easy task is because he's so good. And it's the same with Envoy LN. So that's one of the theories that I think, anyway. I hope he wins.
How far will Shishkin win by?
I think Shishkin will win by 6 lengths. And I think El Dorado Allen will be second because I still think he's a good horse. And the Tizard stable is obviously not back to themselves, but hopefully he'll run well. And yeah, 6 lengths, not really coming off the bridle and having quite an easy race.
Okay. The going is currently soft at Donny. We'll get a lot more clues as to exactly what it's like with the Friday afternoon card. There's no real rain forecast, though, so I would imagine it's not going to get any worse than that. Graham, have you got a betting angle here? Is there a forecast, or do we just sit back and marvel at the mighty Shishkin?
I'm going to be sitting back and marvelling at him. I'm not sure I'd back him, even though, as Keith said there, 2-9 is a bit generous. He should be about 1-20. He probably has that right, but there's fences there to be jumped, you know, and we wouldn't like to see anything befalling the horse, but we've all seen hot pots turn over on when they have fences to jump. Like if you're running in a race, any sort of a steeplechase, if a horse is 20 lengths clear going down to the last, they can still be backed on the likes of Betfair at 33-1 on, as we all know, because there's always the chance of them coming up. But from a betting angle, Fast Brook, Book was only beaten ahead over course and distance in a second start for Paul Nichols. We all know his horses are going quite well. We have him at 16-1. You know, an each way bet with 5 runners, can he fall into second or even a straight forecast with Shishkin just for an interest? You know, we all know Nichols' horses are going well, and he probably needs to find a little bit with the likes of Cheddleton. El Dorado Allen, though, Mr. Jenny or David was referring to Colin Tizard remaining in bad form. We've talked about it the last couple of weeks. He's gone 43 runners over 38 days without a winner. So I'll just draw a line through El Dorado Allen for forecast bet. And I'll go the 2 to beat the 5, Shishkin to beat Fastbook.
Okay, fair enough. There's an interesting piece by Lee Mottershead in the Racing Post today about stable form. So a lot of people saying disregard it, but I know what you mean. It's a long time without a winner. I must say, Graham, each way betting on 5-runner races is something I like a lot because you've got 40% of the places working for you. So I think there is an angle there. Fast Buck, the each way suggestion there for Graham. Okay, let's move on to the 205. If Hendo's expecting to win the first race with Shishkin, he's certainly expecting to win this, but he wouldn't be quite so sure with whom. It's the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing Yorkshire Rose Mare's Hurdle. It's a grade 2. It's over 2 miles and half a furlong. And Henderson has got the front 2 in the market, Graham.
Yeah, and we bet Floressa 13-8. Marie's Rock is 5-2. 11-4, Miranda. Raina's World is a 9-1 shot, and it's 10-1 bar.
DJ, have you got a strong fancy here?
I think Floressa will win, Bruce. With Marie's Rock, you know, the way she ran at Newbury, and you know, there was people kind of thinking she might be another epitant and that she might come out and win the Gerry Fielding at Newbury and then emerge as a champion hurdle contender. She just did absolutely everything wrong. She didn't jump well. She was too keen. And you could say because it's been it was a long time since she was off the track. And she's had a wind operation. And I don't know. I just hated the run. And I think with Floressa, you know what you're getting. She's rated 143. She actually had... I know this sounds strange, but she actually had a very easy race in the Christmas hurdle. She was up with the pace early. Then when the tempo increased with Silver, she sat second off Silver Street. Then when the tempo increased, she just went back through the pack. And then she plodded on again up the home straight. But she actually had quite an easy race. I just think with the way conditions are likely to be and the experience that she has and the tenacity that she has and the speed at which she jumps, I think when you combine all that together, I think she's going to be very hard to beat. I can see Nico trying to stretch them from early in the home straight. And I just think there's too many question marks about Marie's Rock. I think Floressa might not have as much ability as Marie's Rock, but she does things so much better. And that counts for an awful lot. So Floressa for me.
Thanks, DJ. Graham, where's your money going?
Well, I'm going to go with Marie's Rock. Everyone likes an underdog. She ran a little bit too freely on her comeback effort, as has already been alluded to. And second run following a wind up, the tongue tie has been applied. I know that Nico de Boinville has chosen Floresta, but I got a sneaky suspicion that Marie's Rock will be a little bit straighter in the 205 at Doncaster this Saturday. And that's the one at the prices. That's the one I decided with.
Okay. And Keith, who do you like here?
I don't think Nicky Henderson's going to win it. I would be Marie's Rock. She's gone from the next Epiton to stable second string in the, 10 weeks since Newbury. It's not promising for me. And Floresta won with an enterprising ride in the Jerry Fielden. And, I could definitely see her winning, but I would rather take Miranda at the prices that we're both getting offered. Miranda's form is really good. It's in handicaps as well. She has come off a flat, but is evidently good on the softer ground. I think she is. There's a bet in the race to upset the two Henderson horses.
Okay, thank you, chaps. Now, graded novices hurdles aren't normally the hardest race of the day to solve, but our next race might be.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at the 2:40 at Doncaster on Saturday now. All the action, by the way, on ITV's main channel. And this is the Albert Bartlett River Don Novices Hurdle. It's a grade two, over 3 miles and about 80 yards. And as I said before that brief message, this is a really, really competitive event. I shall be fascinated to see what the lads make of it. Before we get the selections, we'll get the latest from Paddy Power.
Yeah, it's another market topper from Nicky Henderson, with Amir Sacre topping the market at 4-1. Flash Collonge is a 5-1 shot, 6-1 Ashtown Lad. Pat's Fancy is a 13-2 shot, 7-1 Ask a Honeybee, 8-1 Bob Hope or No Hope, and it's 9-1 and bigger the rest, Bruce.
And we'll stick with you, Graham, for the first selection.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Pat's Fancy in this race. It finished with a flourish behind Make Good at Cheltenham on December the 12th. And I just get a sneaky suspicion it's going to be a little bit straighter today. And Rebecca Curtis, small stable, going quite well lately. And there's been a few quid for it. It was 8-1 not so long ago. And it's into 13-2 now. So Pat's Fancy will do me. Ran well last time out.
And who's your fancy, Keith Melrose?
The River Don can turn into a real survival race sometimes. For all that people think about Doncaster as a place to get slightly decent ground in winter, it can get very churned up. And yeah, you want a horse that stays extremely well. That's what I saw in Ashtown Lad at Etoxeter in particular. He's since gone off favourite for a race at Cheltenham. Wasn't at his best there, but yeah, I like the way he really did plug on it at Etoxeter in testing ground. So at the prices and with the form he's got behind him, he's actually got the best existing form in the race, for all that novice hurdlers are almost always progressing. So I think his price just represents something a little bit bigger than it should be.
We've got one vote for Pat's Fancy. We've got one for Ashtown Lad. Who is David Jennings' selection going to be?
Oh, my thunder is stolen here, Bruce. Ashtown Lad is one of my strongest fancies of the entire day. I just think he didn't like Cheltenham. I find it funny sometimes with horses. When they get to Cheltenham, obviously we know all about Cheltenham and the undulations, but I thought Ashton Ladd was just blatantly obvious. He didn't really handle the track, didn't get up the hill, didn't, see out his race the way we saw him seeing out his race at Uttoxeter. And there's a couple of things here. First of all, he's the highest rated horse in the race. He's a mark of 135. As Keith said, I think he's got the best pieces of form in the race. And he was beaten half a length by Ask a Honeybee in Weatherby. That was 2-mile 3 in October. But he would have won that day if he didn't make a mistake at the last. So there were perfectly plausible excuses for that defeat. And if, like me, you can say, this horse didn't handle Cheltenham. He's won at Uttoxeter, Weatherby, and the time before that he ran in his maiden hurdle at Doncaster. I just think he could be a flatter track type horse. And I think Doncaster is going to suit him much, much better. I think he's the best horse in the race. I think he's got the best form. He's the highest rated. He's 6-1. I think that's a huge price.
Excellent. Thank you very much indeed, DJ. Let's look now at the 3:15 at Donny. It's the race of the day. It's the Skybet Handicap Chase over pretty much 3 miles. It's going to take some getting in these testing conditions. And Christian Williams has the very strong favourite here, Graham. What's the latest?
Captu Noor tops the market at 5-2. Canelo's a 5-1 shot, also at 5s as one for the team. Musical Slave 6-1, 8-1 I Write, and it's 11-1 bar.
Thank you very much, Graham. Keith, lead on, my friend.
This is a smashing race. I think, you know, we've got Captain Orr, who's a real cause célèbre in terms of collateral form. He's gone up £3 for what Royal Pagai did at Hidot last week. He finished second to that horse at Kempton, and although Royal Pagai smashed him up, he was 19 lengths clear of the rest, headed by Davos Shuffle, who won off the same mark a couple of weeks later. Handicapping case is impeccable, but to go back to the point that Doncaster can get very churned up and very testing at this meeting at this time of year, the stamina is the issue for Captain Orr. That was his most convincing run at 3 miles, Kempton, but it was still a steady run race at a relatively speed-favouring track. So I think you could outstay him. You're not going to be a better handicapped horse than him, chances are. So I'm back two in the race. I've ended up having a little bit each way on York Hill because, yes, he was 66-1 last time, but he could actually come back a little bit further. So that's a small each way bet. But the main bet in the race is actually Musical Slave, who jumped really badly at Newbury in a race won by Clondaw Castle. And in November there, still didn't get beat that far. Before that, he'd been second to Sam's Adventure in a really warm novice handicap at Utoxeter on Midlands National Day. It's his only go at 3 miles. I think the trip might well help his jumping. He is going to, he evidently stays it. So 3 miles testing ground, he has the form. It's very strong, and he shaped really, really well in his reappearance. So for me, Musical Slave represents the biggest bet in the race.
Thank you, Keith. Interesting you mentioned Royal Pagai. I was listening to you talking to Maddie on Monday's podcast, and I totally agree with you. You made the point that you don't see any question that will run in the Gold Cup. I completely agree with you. DJ, I just want, before you give us your view on this race, just what do you make of Royal Pagai vis-a-vis the Gold Cup?
I'm going to contradict myself here. I think he's going to run in it because I think they have to have a shot. But I really worry for him in the first circuit of the Gold Cup that he'd be able to hold his position and that he'd be able to jump well enough. That's my big worry. I think the race last Saturday is so, so different to a Gold Cup. There's time and time again I've backed horses in the Gold Cup that are beaten after three fences just because it's a different level of... It's a different level. That first circuit, like I remember fancying Bell's Hill one year in the Gold Cup when Ruby picked him. And he was beaten after three or four fences, it's just in my head that that's going to happen to Royal Pagai. I know the National Hunt Chase is there for the taking, but why not have a go? Like just have a go, and I really hope to do, but I wouldn't fancy him to win a Gold Cup.
Fair enough. More importantly, who do you fancy to win the Sky Bet Chase?
Oh, Bruce, it's so boring. I really didn't want to fancy Captain Ord. And, you know, obviously when Cheltenham was called off, it's the one race you're looking to and you're trying to find something at a bigger price that you can tip up and that you can cling on to and that, you know, you can text all your mates telling you, back this horse, he's 10-1. And then you just go through the race and you go, hold on a second. Is this not just blatantly obvious here? Like Captain Ord, he's gone up £6 for that Royal Pagai run. I just thought it was a hell of a run. Like he was 19 lengths clear of Double Shuffle. Everything that's put before you makes sense that this horse is going to win. Like even the time before when he beat Canelo, like he beat him convincingly. He just seems to be an improving staying chaser that's a couple of steps ahead of the handicapper. That if you're looking for reasons to beat him, you're kind of looking really too hard and you're going to regret it. So, I hate tipping favourites in these type of races, Bruce, but I'm going to have to tip Captain Ord.
DJ, there isn't a punter in the land who doesn't love a 5-2 winner. Don't worry about it. Graham, who are you going to go for?
There's been plenty of money for Captain Ord, and he certainly does seem to jump straight off the page with that form against Royal Pagai. But I like horses at each way backable prices, and no doubt Paddy will be doing an extra place on this race. And the one I've sided with here is Give Me a Copper. I know it's an 11-year-old, but it's only actually raced 12 times in its career under rules and stayed on very well when beaten only a half a length over course and distance on its most recent start. Harry Cobden is back in the saddle. We all know Paul Nicholls does well with his runners, no matter where he goes. And more importantly, perhaps, Give Me a Copper is having a second run following a wind up. And it's one, there has been a few quid for it, currently 11-1. That'll do me each way. But I'd be perfectly ready to accept him following home the likely winner, probably, in Cap du Nord. But things don't always go to what the form book says. But Cap du Nord, probably the most obvious one of the day. But I'm going to go for give me a copper each way.
Splendid. Thank you very much indeed, gents. ITV have hastily rescheduled things in the wake of the Cheltenham cancellation, and they're going to bring us three races from Lingford. The 220, which is a 6 furlong handicap with seven runners. That's annoying, isn't it? We've also got the 255, which is a 1.5 mile handicap. We've got five runners in that. And then the 3 o'clock is another handicap over 1 mile, and we've got seven runners there. So not much use for each way punters. That's no good. Keith is absolutely, being the purist he is, he doesn't want to put up a tip that he's hastily scrabbled together. DJ, I'm sure, was up all night watching Lingfield, so I'm sure his tips are absolutely credible and valid, and we'll see what he fancies at Lingfield.
Did I detect a little bit of sarcasm there, Bruce?
Not at all, no. Oh. Absolutely not.
In other words, Keith is making the sensible decision and not tipping anything at Lingfield because it's lastminute.com. And David Jennings, being the spoofer that he is going to come up with a tip. No, I actually...
You are absolutely not a spoofer, my friend. I would never have that said about you.
I'm gonna put up one at a decent price here, Bruce, in the 220, a horse called Choco Star. It's a five-year-old mare. Look, this is average enough stuff. Like, it's a race for horses rated lower than 70. But I just think with Choco Star, she's rated 57. She ran the other night at Kempton. And there was just a sign that she was coming back to life. Like, I think this time last year, she would rate it about 61. So she's come down a little bit. She doesn't win very often. She's only won one of her 16 starts. But she sat last at Kempton the other night. And at one stage, it looked like she was going to sweep by them all down the outside under Joey Haynes. But the winner of the race actually made the run in Tarango Lila and just kind of got an easy lead and got then kicked and didn't come back. But Choco Star beat the rest. And I just thought watching that race, I thought Choco Star might be just ready to turn the corner. And I just think she's a little bit better than the 57 races handicapper. And while, you know, she's no certainty by any stretch of the imagination, she's 11-1, I think. And I think she'll outrun her odds. And I think she might just win.
Excellent. Nice bit of free publicity for the firm there, Graham, at Lingfield, in that race that DJ's tipped Choco Star in. Paddy Power runs in front of the ITV cameras. That's good, isn't it? Do you fancy anything, Graham, or are you going to be like Keith, keep your powder dry?
Well, just to let the listeners know that about a half an hour before recording, we only learnt that Cheltenham was gone. So but I'm one to just pick one quick. I don't have any reputation to uphold. My job is to throw a dart and land at a different horse in every race.
You're saying DJ does have a reputation to uphold?
Oh, the DJ certainly does, and so does Keith. But yours truly, well, listen, I'll put my neck on the chopping block all the time. So I've actually had a study of these three races, and I have three picks for the live ITV races, and I'll probably do a Trixie on them myself just in case they all win. I've actually gone for Paddy Power in that 220. He's dropped again in the weights. Ran on well without having any chance of winning last time out, but I just think with Richard Fahey, he likes getting winners, particularly on Saturdays. I think Paddy Power is going to be ready to get back into an overdue winner's enclosure in the 220. And then in the very next race live on ITV, I think Renardot, whatever way you want to pronounce it, I think that's a really interesting one. Ali Strong's charge. Now, Ali Strong is the only, I hope I'm pronouncing the name right, is the only trainer with a runner in that 255 that has won a race in the last couple of weeks. And Renardot returns to Lingfield. And do you know that Renardot has won three of its five races over course and distance at Lingfield? So I really like Renardot there in the 255. And then before you get a complete pain in your head, the last one I like is Mohareb in the 330 at Lingfield, the third live race. It stayed on for third after a slow start over course and distance on January the 16th. It's completely unexposed over a mile, you know, and it missed the kick that day a little bit. So I think that Mohareb is well worth another try over a mile. So my three for Lingfield, Paddy Power in the 220, Renardot in the 255, Mohareb in the 330.
Keith, get this man a job. If he can conjure up selections like that in 2 minutes, I'm very impressed. He could do the whole spotlight in a single shift. Right then, we've got the rest of Saturday, we've got the naps, and we've got the Sunday best coming right up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's Graham Temple. We've done the TV action. It's now time to see what else the boys fancy on Saturday. We've got the rest of Donny. We've got the rest of Lingfield. We've got Fairy House. And for all weather fans, we've got Kempton. So we'll start with Keith Melrose. Got anything for us?
Yeah, just one. And it's less of a bet than it might have been. I've had Financial Outcome on my radar to back for quite a while. They keep trying to put him. He needs a test. 3 miles is barely enough for him. And they keep trying to run him in these very extreme long distance races that he tends to be out of the weights for because he's only rated about 115, 120. He runs in the 350 at Doncaster here. And as I say, had it been 3 mile two or 3 mile four, I would definitely be having a decent bet on him. The fact that it's 3 miles means I'll be tempering it slightly, but this horse is definitely going to win a plod at some point in what's left of the winter. And so I can't let him go unbacked.
Okay. DJ, will you be at Fairy House tomorrow? It's a good race at 158. The race displays mares and novices hurdle. It's a grade three over 2 mile two. And we see the good old Galois up against Royal Kahala. That should be a good race, shouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm hopefully working there. I just filled out my health screening form and fingers crossed I will. The vibes, unfortunately, are not great from Fairy House. And I live only a couple of miles away and it's raining here at the minute. There's an inspection at 3 o'clock. So fingers crossed, because this is a hell of a race. And even if it is called off, I hope to God it's rescheduled, because this is the most interesting race of the weekend. 158 at Fairy House, that grade three mares novice hurdle. The favourite for the mares novice hurdle at Cheltenham, Galois, is in it. Second favourite for the mares novice hurdle at Cheltenham, Royal Kahala, is in it as well. And it's just fascinating stuff. The two that I'm going to concentrate on, and they're two at bigger prices. One I've actually put up on a different show at a bigger price, called Castro Patera for the mares novice hurdle. I think she's a really talented filly. She was beaten by Delvino at Nace when there was a load of hurdles that weren't jumped, but because of the low lying sun. But I think she's made for jumping. She's a fine strapping mare. She had really good form in bumpers. She beat Royal Kahala in a bumper. Now, Royal Kahala has improved since then, but she did beat Royal Kahala in a bumper. Royal Kahala is like 5-2 and Castro Patera is probably 12-1. I think Castro Patera is a good mare, and I think she's worth a small few quid here. And the other one I'm interested in is Mighty Blue. So two of Joseph O'Brien's. Mighty Blue was beaten three lengths by Galois last time at Thurles, but I don't think the track suited her at Thurles at all. She's keen and she doesn't really settle that well in her races, but she is talented. She's rated 104 in the flat. If she did happen to settle under JJ's 11, I think she can turn that form around with Galois, and she's getting a bit of weight from Galois as well. So my two against the field, possibly at double figure prices, are Castro Patera, Mighty Blue. And as regards the winning of the race, I think it could be Mighty Blue.
Okay. Anything else you like?
Yeah, one other one, Bruce, at Fairy House in the 123. It's a 3 mile one handicap chase, and Get a Day for Dar O'Keefe, who won his first run grade one of Christmas on a Plutar. Get a Day, he's not from 16, obviously hasn't won a race, but this is a drop in grade for him. He ran against Traces and Escorti last time at Cork, was well backed into 7-2, didn't jump well enough there, and this is a real step down in grade. I think he's well handicapped off a mark of 109, and there's nothing in the race that would really scare me. So that's Get a Day in the 123.
Thanks, DJ. Graham, have you got any other Saturday selections?
I do. I was looking at the all-weather card at Kempton, and one horse that jumped off the page at me goes to post in the 2 o'clock there. We all are hearing everyone raving about this claimer, Benoit de la Sayette, who's with John Gosden. Well, he's got a couple of rides on the Saturday card at Kempton, and the first of them is a horse called Vibrance, which he rides for James Fanshawe. Now, this thing had a, or I said thing there, this horse had a pipe opener over hurdles at Fakenham on December the 20th. And perhaps more significantly, it's only won four of it. Well, when I say only, it's won four of its 15 races, but all four of those wins were over course and distance here at Kempton. They've booked Benoit de la Sayette, who people are saying, I hope I'm pronouncing him right, people are touting as a future champion. So worth every one of his £7. So Vibrance caught my eye there at Kempton. And another one that I'll be keeping an eye on the 233 at Ferry House, Willie Mullins' Mac Muldoon, ran quite okay on the day after Christmas at Leopardstown when it was the nearest that to finish fourth in a big field. I think that horse is going to be a bit straighter this Saturday in the 233 at Ferry House. So Mac Muldoon in the 233 at Ferry House, and perhaps more importantly, Vibrance. I'll be keeping a close eye on that in the 2 o'clock at Kempton.
Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with Keith Melrose.
Musical Slave in the 3:15.
Where?
Donnie.
Oh, okay. Always helps these punters to know where
it is. There's only one jumps card on, and I'm not betting on it.
All right. We didn't do him any harm, does it, to know where the meeting is? DJ, I'm sure you'll be delivering the horse, the meeting, and the time.
Rawr! Jesus, Keith Melrose. There's a man that's been in lockdown for too long.
You know the rules.
And do you remember, DJ, when we
first started doing these, we'd have people going, oh, yeah, and in the novices hurdle, I fancy that. And I'm like, well, people don't know when the novices hurdle is. They don't know where it is. They don't know what time it is. Let's help the listeners.
I know. I'm only joking. And you know the funny thing is, when you said now it's time for the naps, I was like, oh, I know what my nap is. And then it was like, oh God, I don't know what time it's at. It's like when your mother used to say she was coming down to check your room to see was it clean, and you said you were down cleaning it, but you were really watching telly, and then you go and throw everything under the bed. My nap is in the 2:40 at Doncaster on Saturday, and it is a horse called Ashdown Lad.
Thank you very much indeed. And Graham?
My nap is in the 2:20 at Lingfield, which is live on ITV. Richard Fahey's charge, the aptly named...
No, I'm not having that. That's not a real nap. You're only doing that because you work for Paddy Power.
I'm not joking, you brutes. I'm backing this horse.
No. You're napping a horse called Paddy Power.
I'm napping a horse called Paddy Power.
And you work for Paddy Power.
Yes, and I'm putting my money where my mouth is. It's his turn.
I hope it stands you in good stead at your next appraisal. But I smell a rat with that one.
Okay, well, if you want another one, if you wanted a different one, Keith, I mean, Vibrance in the 2 o'clock at Kempton. But I genuinely do really fancy Paddy Power in the 2:20 at Lincoln.
And now he's just called you Keith.
I know.
I meant Bruce. Sorry, Bruce.
That's all right. Okay, blimey, it's all getting a bit spiky, isn't it? I'm gonna have to contact Keith afterwards. He's gonna have the ump with me for that. Right. Anyway, let's have a quick look at Sunday before we wrap up, and we'll see where the racing takes place. This is obviously all weather permitting. Nace, they've got a couple of graded races there. Hopefully that will be okay. I don't think there's any news of an inspection there. Catterick is on, but we don't know about that. And our old staple Wolverhampton. Keith, have you got anything for us on Sunday?
Yeah, only at Catterick, though. In the 2 o'clock, Evander is dropping down in grade a little bit. They've stuck a tongue tie on him. He tends to get ridden quite aggressively. That often suits around Catterick. I can't imagine he's going to be a massively big price, but he is dropping in grade, and Evander in the 2 o'clock just smacks at that sort of horse that will just win.
Oh, you're our man in Yorkshire, aren't you? What do you think the weather prospects are?
Well, I'm 60 miles from Catterick, so I don't like to cast too many things about the weather. It's only rained a tiny bit here today, so you'd be hopeful that Catterick might go ahead.
That would be good. We're losing a lot of jumps meetings at the moment. DJ, have you got anything for us on Sunday?
Yeah, really good card at Nace, Bruce. Well, not really good, but in the context of the weekend with Cheltenham called off, it's decent. The 1:15 is an interesting race, the Limestone Lad Hurdle. Like Cur Sublime is an enigma because he works brilliantly but doesn't produce it on the track. I'm going to go for Grand Wah here for Gordon Elliott and Jack Kennedy. Has a bit to find in ratings, quite a lot. It's rated £11 inferior to Beacon Edge, but I just think he's an improving horse that's going to get better. And I think it's a good kind of next stepping stone for Grand Wah. Bought for huge money by Nolan Valerie Moore in Nicky Henderson's yard. And yeah, I think he's good. I thought he was good at Limerick over Christmas, and I think he's progressive. So Grand Wah in the 1:15. And then later on the card, Bruce, there is a grade 3 novice chase over 3 miles, and Pencil Full of Lead is going to be favourite here. But the one I like is Ascaria 10, also for Gordon Elliott, who trains Pencil Full of Lead. It was only a beginner's chase at Thurles, and it was a couple of days before Christmas, and it kind of went unnoticed. But I thought Iscariotene was ridiculously impressive that day at Thurles. Beat Minister for Sport, who I think is rated in the 120s by 20 lengths. Couldn't have done it any easier. And to me, he looks like he could be a top-class novice. So Iscariotene 315 at Naas will be my strongest fancy on Sunday.
Cheers, DJ. And Graham, what have you got for us on Sunday?
I'm saying if anyone's looking at the racing action at Naas on Sunday, give Noel Meads' runners a really close look. I could see him having a good day. Three of his runners in particular, Beacon Edge, DJ mentioned him there as probably the one to beat in that 115, although he fancies another one. It's a really intriguing race, that. But when you think of the likes of Bacchuson, why have they put Bacchuson in that? Willie Mullins is beyond me. A horse that ran in a Gold Cup. The trip clearly too short, but you never know if the ground gets bottomless. There could be a bit of an upset there. But Beacon Edge for Noel Mead in the 115. Noel Mead also has another interesting one in the novice chase at 315 in Eurobot. This one made loads of mistakes when it was a 12-1 shot when unseating rider behind Monkfish over the Christmas. Noel Mead's horse is going well. I would not be surprised to see this one being well, having been well schooled since that race. And if it jumps a bit better, Eurobot could win the 315. And then Noel Mead also has another interesting one in the 345, and if I could, I would. This one steps into handicap company over fences. Now, its recent form is bordering on brutal, but in fairness, it did win a hurdle over a similar trip on heavy ground last year. So first time in a handicap over fences, I think if I could, I would, could defy its probable odds. And I think it's going to be a good day at the races for trainer Noel Mead on Sunday at Naas.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Keith. Thank you for listening. Maddie's back on Monday, and then we're back next Friday, looking ahead to another great weekend, which features the Dublin Racing Festival. That will be absolutely brilliant. Can't wait for that. Bet safely, enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.